The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Sirius Radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Good evening and welcome to The Essentials, The Reset. This is Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, and I'm glad for you to join us this evening. We are going to have ourselves a conversation. There is no guest, and so if you want to be that guest for a couple of minutes or so, then certainly you want to give us a call at 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, or you can text us via our text line 422-4796. What exactly is on your mind? There's a lot happening in the country today. We see here this headline screaming from one of the daily newspaper, which says, "Prove IMF wrong or Bahamas sinks." The Bahamas must prove the IMF wrong by soundly beating economic growth forecasts that cannot work in sustaining this nation's spiraling debt, a governance reformer warned yesterday. So this governance reformer is Mr. Robbie Myers. Mr. Robbie Myers of the Organization of Responsible Governance says that the Bahamas has simply got to do better than 1.5% gross domestic product expansion, which the International Monetary Fund is predicting for 2026. The fund, in its latest World Economic Outlook, held firm to its 2% and 8% GDP expansion in 2021 and 2022, respectively. Mr. Myers, though, said, while the latter figure may look impressive, it really only represents the Bahamas recovering some, though not all, of the tourism output loss in the COVID pandemic. And then arguing that defying the IMF expectation and surpassing them to consistently achieve 5% annual growth rates will be the challenge for every Bahamian. Hear that? It's not the challenge for the country. He says it's the challenge for every Bahamian as well as the government. He says that all stakeholders have little choice but to get in the boat together and row hard to pull the country out of its post-COVID Dorian doldrums. A lot said. So the question, therefore, is, with this headline coming today, the question is, how will that happen? We see from the Guardian, cruise port welcomed 5 ships in one day. So things are picking up. The rate reduction bond from BPL is still in a limbo. The chamber is hopeful that government commitments will alleviate enduring challenges, and so on and so forth. And everything here is connected in some way, shape, or form, you know. But let's have a little bit of a conversation of some of the things which have been happening in and around town, which we haven't spoken about before on this program, well, as yet. First, it is the opening of Parliament, which went very well, as far as I'm concerned, from an observation point of view. Still, there are some aspects of the opening of Parliament which is reminds you so strongly of a time past and a whole other civilization which we seem to be hell-bent on continuing. But be that as it may, the process went smoothly. I think there was a bitter concern, at least from my perspective, as to the number of persons who were there. But we understand it's a point, it's a time of celebration, it's a time for persons to come out and, you know, enjoy those who they would have supported or those who they have good wishes for. And so they braved the COVID. And they went, and, you know, everything went smoothly. Well, the next thing was the speech from the throne, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then there's also Christopher Columbus. And then, in a way, there's a thread running through all of these, right? The thread through all of these is the Queen. The opening of Parliament features aspects of the Queen, even though the Queen is not there. The Governor General represents her and makes a speech from the throne, which is not a real throne here in the Bahamas, but representative of the fact that we are a constitutional monarchy and he is representing the Queen. And then there is the issue of Christopher Columbus and the young man who made an attempt to knock that statue over. Now, you know, I know various talk show hosts have distilled this significantly. I don't need to get into all of those other things. But I posted something on after the event, and I said, basically, if you aren't one of those persons who was willing to go up there and take your sledgehammer and knock down Christopher Columbus, then you ought not to be out there celebrating what this young man did. Because, after all, there's a couple of things. He's now saying that he doesn't have any mental issues. It would appear to me, the untrained eye, the way he was carrying on that particular day, that he may have had some mental issues. So my concern was the concern for him and how he will be treated. And knowing the fact that he has just really given up his freedom, because, you know, he's going to end up in jail. He's currently in jail. Well, I posted that on Facebook, and a couple of very popular and prominent individuals kind of push back on that. And without getting into their words, they were effectively saying, you know, they disagree. And my simple response to all of them was, well, Christopher Columbus is still standing. And the man has done most of the work already, so you simply need to take the hammer and go tap the other leg. If you are so committed to what the young man did, then go help him finish it. The truth is, I wouldn't ask anybody to do that, because you're going to end up in jail. Because in the Bahamas, destroying property belonging to another is still illegal, and it ought not to be encouraged. Now, we know we have our philosophical differences because of what Christopher Columbus may represent, but there's a way of doing that, and I wouldn't ask anyone. You know, I wouldn't ask anyone to do that on my behalf. Am I sad that it's knocked down? Maybe not. I'm ambivalent to whether he's there or not. He really has no great bearing on my life. I know where I stand as a human being, and Christopher Columbus certainly will not enter any of the love chambers of my heart in any way, shape, or form. But he could stay at Government House for as long as he wants. It's Government's house, it's not my house. It's the center of the representation of what colonialism meant to the Bahamas. So I think he's in the right place. So, you know, be that as it may, I still want to say we hope the young man, you know, is given the care that he needs or appear to need. And we certainly send our sympathies out to the fact that he's now incarcerated and have lost his freedom to the cheers of many who, in my mind, are not even brave enough to say that they themselves wouldn't have gone there. I wouldn't have. There's absolutely no way I would have gone there. If Hubert Edwards walked up to that statue and put his hand on it, I believe they would have lost me so deep in Fox Hill. You know, not even my great grandchildren will find any thought of me. So I want to say to all of the persons out there who are having this discussion now around Columbus, let's have the discussion. It's a robust discussion. It's a healthy discussion. But at the end of the day, please do not do anything which is going to land you in trouble. Now, if there's some things which need to be taken down, you need a lot of people. And unless you see hundreds of thousands of people surrounding you and moving in a particular direction, don't overexpose yourself. Don't become a hero, because I don't think it's worth it. I absolutely don't think it's worth it. So what we are going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the speech from the throne and some of these things. And you're going to call me and let's hear what's on your mind. I think we have an early caller. We will take that. Is there a call? Okay, we will. Yeah, we have a caller. Caller, go ahead. You are on Guardian Radio.
Hey, Mr. Hubert.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I would like to refer you to an article you wrote in The Guardian, mm-hmm. October 5th.
Yes.
All right. I actually decided to keep copies of everything you write.
Why? Why are you doing that?
You and Shivago Lang.
You just going to mess up your place, though.
No, boy. No. I know genius, you and Shivago Lang. You two guys. You are kind of like giving me a... How should I put it? A master's degree program through Guardian Radio and in the newspaper. But anyway, mm-hmm. enough of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said the question is, at what point do we change this vicious cycle? Of course, you know what you're referring to. Even if one argues that we are not there,
Remind me of what a vicious cycle is.
You were talking about this possibility of the IMF introducing a program that's going to restrict
right.
the value and, you know...
Mm-hmm.
This thing that you were saying that, boy, you write so deep, man.
Okay, this is the one on that talks about Marla Dukeran, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. I'm with you now.
Yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said the IMF program in the next 2 years, you said there are two separate things, one which noted above will happen voluntarily. You remember you said that, without
yes.
external support.
Mm-hmm.
And the second... will be subject to the effectiveness of the first. Now, are you talking about how we behave in our financial affairs in the first one?
Yeah, well, okay. So the rescheduling, right? The rescheduling of the loans, which will create a situation where there's not going to be a default. That's all voluntary, right?
Okay.
But if that doesn't work, that's pretty much I'm saying, if that doesn't work, we will then have to move to something else. But it's voluntary because you have to go call the IMF. They're not going to come to you on their own.
So that will be mandatory?
No, you go call them. You need them, but you will go call them. The IMF doesn't intrude in any affairs of any country without being called.
But don't they say that you are lagging and you need to do this and do that?
Yeah, they suggest. I think...
That ain't intruding.
I think Shivago Lang has always explained this, and I always respect his view because he has been on the inside of government. The IMF have the ability to suggest to you the things that you need to do. Now, think about it this way, right? If you go back to the Article 4 reviews, which the IMF has been doing over a number of years on the Bahamas. Go back as far as you want to. You will find many, many things which they suggest, which the Bahamas has not done yet. If
right.
they were in a position to mandate, then the Bahamas would have to have done them a long time ago.
When do they get in the position to mandate? Since, obviously, they are connected to the money we borrowed, eh?
Well, I don't think they are... They're never in the position to mandate. When you get into a program with them, it's an agreement, and you say to them, okay, if you help us, we agree to do these things. And so they provide you with technical expertise. They help you to access individuals who will help you to move through the reforms that you need. They bring to the process a level of credibility and gravitas, which enables you to achieve the thing which you may have had difficulty achieving because they are now in the room with you. But guess what?
You're basically saying that they bring you to more honesty. Yes?
Well, they bring you to greater discipline, actually. In many instances, the reason a lot of country fail to, or at least the reason a lot of country gets to the place where they are is because they have not displayed the discipline in implementing the reforms which are needed. And therefore, when they find themselves under the umbrella of this restructuring or this IMF program, if you will, they commit to the IMF to do certain things and their services which accrue. And then out of the discipline of that arrangement, they are able to secure greater impetus or greater progress.
And yet sometimes they don't commit.
Sometimes they commit and actually pull out of it. You have there are countries who have entered into agreement with the IMF, Jamaica did, and actually pull out. They didn't follow through.
I'm really having a hard time trying to figure out who are these people?
Which people?
The International
Monetary Fund is an organization. I think it emerged out of that Bretton Woods agreement way back in the day after, I think that was a World War II. That was like 1948 or somewhere about there, right?
Hitler or somebody.
Yeah, and pretty much it was designed to help the world progress, to deal with issues of economics, to bring countries closer together in terms of managing their fiscal policies. And they are there as an organization which provide deep resource research material. There's also they're also a lender
provide money
through their special, what they call it, SDR, special depository rights. Drawing rights. So, it's part and parcel of a mechanism which countries voluntarily sign up to and accrue great benefit from.
Yeah, but on the flip side, mm-hmm. when you get deep in debt,
yes,
they have the ability to devalue your currency. Yes,
no, they don't. They don't. Oh. Okay. If you are in a country, you have two type of exchange rate. There's some other things which, okay, let's go through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
At one extreme, right, you have a floating rate, which means okay. that your rate move against other currency freely, all right?
Right.
At the other end, you have a peg rate like the Bahamas does.
To the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, so you make a decision to peg it at 1-to-1. So what that simply means is that for every Bahamian dollar in circulation, right,
mm-hmm.
the Bahamas government through the central bank is required to maintain,
reserve. So we have to pay to keep it on par.
Yeah, maintain reserve sufficient to keep it. So if you have $1 out there in Bahamian dollars, you need $1 in U.S. Mm-hmm. reserve, right?
It's a 1-to-1 ratio.
1-to-1, and that's the amount. If it is like Barbados, which is 2-to-1, so which means that for everyone U.S. dollar out there, Barbados just needs to keep 50 cents because it's 2-to-1.
Well, is the IMF involved in Haiti, which is like, I think, 90-something-to-1?
Say that again?
Haiti. Haiti's dollar is like 97-to-1?
I actually don't know the rate of ATM currency. I'm saying,
are they being advised by the IMF?
A lot of countries get advised by the IMF. I wouldn't be surprised that Haiti is, but like I said to you, you have to accept this. You have to accept this if you're going to understand where the IMF is. The participation with the IMF is totally voluntary.
Now,
put it this way. Let's say that you went to the beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't swim, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody come to you and say, hey, let me help you out here in the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
You will tell him, no, go away, I don't need that, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But let's say for some strange reason you happen to be out there in the water and you're drowning, and he is the only person there. Are you going to not volunteer for him to take you to shore?
That's a perfect scenario that describes exactly where we are.
So even though it's voluntary because you still have the choice of drowning, right? You are.
You know what you just did, Mr. Hubert?
Why? What did I just do?
You just declared that we are drowning.
No, I didn't. I said when faced with a dangerous situation or a fatal situation, you are going to choose the one which is in your best interest. So if the Bahamas was to find itself in that position, and the Bahamas, hear me very clearly, is not in that position, but if the Bahamas was to find itself in a position where the policymakers have a choice between making the country crash and burn or going to the IMF and securing help, which is going to make it better, I guarantee you that they are going to secure the help. It's just simple as that.
I disagree with you, because the politicians we have today, they seem to be motivated by creating an environment where we are more dependent on them. So they may probably refuse the IMF.
No. At some stage, you have to have some faith in the compassion. And at least in the, if not compassion, the self-preservation of politicians.
But we have the history.
No, but history shows right around the world that even the worst administration, even the most despotic administration, and Bahamas has never seen anything like that, right?
Does the IMF ever get involved with the Afghanistan government?
I am sure they do. I'm sure they do.
Okay. So
I'm sure they do.
This agency seemed to be, number one, connected to colonialism.
It's ubiquitous. Yeah? No, it's not connected to colonialism. If you were to go down that rabbit hole, at best, I would say maybe they're more imperialist than colonialist. Yeah, no, but they're not connected to colonialism.
Thank you so much for carrying up so far, but you know I can be back.
Yeah, feel free. You have anything else? Because, you know, nobody else calling in, so we can talk.
Yeah, no, okay, well, fine. Listen, what recommendation would you make to the government right now to prevent us from falling deeper into debt with this recurrent deficit, and strategies that you would recommend to work us out from where we are? We seem to have a government now that they appear to be listening. You know, the COVID situation is sort of waning, and more airs are coming on stream.
Okay.
But what recommendations, because I saw some in your article, you know, but I know you're going to reiterate them right now. what recommendations, any new ones that you would recommend?
I don't know. I'll just shoot some stuff off the top of my head. But before we throw out recommendations, let's kind of set the table as to exactly what we're dealing with, right? The deficit is a function of our spending and our earnings, right?
So,
you know, if you have $2 to spend and you end up buying something for $2.50, you owe somebody 50 cents, doesn't it?
I believe it.
Yeah. So the deficit is a function of your earnings. So the first part of the solution is, where are we going to find additional revenue from for the government? And the government have a couple of options. The government can either raise taxes, or it can go sell off some of its assets. It don't have any assets, so taxes is really one of the only places it can find revenue from. Or it could come up with strategies to grow the economy. I think that really is the way persons are thinking. So in terms of the economy, one of the things that I would say to them is, first of all, take a look at what is your biggest asset in the country from an industry point of view? And that biggest asset is tourism, yeah?
Okay.
Ask yourself, how much do I get from tourism on an ongoing basis? We usually say, well, for every tourist dollar spent, 80 cents goes back out of the country, right? I would think, therefore, that maybe one of the first strategies is for us to keep more of that 80 cents. If we can get that down to, say, 40 cents, 60 cents going out back, so we keep 40, then all of a sudden you have a more robust local environment. How will you get that, though? You can only get that if you start to have other industries which tourism uses as their suppliers. One of those possible industries is agriculture. If more of the local food is being sold to hotels, if more of local production, like I used this example last week, in Jamaica, every single fast food operation must buy their meats, whether it's beef or chicken, from local farmers. Every Kentucky, every McDonald's, every Wendy's. You see where I'm going?
So yeah, they're more progressive in their thinking.
No. You see, when we have conversations like these and we start talking about who more progressive, you start to put a cap on the possibilities.
Not really, you know. All I'm doing is comparing,
no,
in my opinion,
but
what I've
listen,
seen happening in other countries.
Listen. Culture is a hell of a thing, right? Culture is a hell of a thing. Sometimes it just need one person to buck what is normal, and then all of a sudden the world changes.
I agree.
You see where I'm going?
I agree.
And so in this time, at this stage, when we are, where our back is against the wall in many ways, it is now time to buck the system. There are some things which I think politicians would not necessarily get away with proposing maybe 10 years ago, that today they look like gold. And you should propose them and just move forward with them. So in a roundabout way, one of the things is growing new industries, leveraging more from existing industries, and coming to the realization and having this conversation with the Bahamian people that maybe somewhere along the line, we just will have to pay a little bit more in taxes. That's the truth.
Mr. Edwards.
Yes, sir.
Apparently, in the regular stream of things, we're looking at billions of dollars between the drug trade and all the economy and all that other stuff that we did, a couple of billion dollars.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be every day about $7 trillion passing through the Forex market.
Mm-hmm.
And, sorry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. And we have not been teaching our citizens how to siphon some of that money off the way, like, say, a former governor of the central bank would drive out to Lake Key and give somebody a license to trade and not do that in the local community. That used to happen in the past. I could prove that if you push me. But
no,
I'm just saying.
There's no need to prove that because...
Good.
The
Why is it then are we not teaching our citizenry how to become part of that 1.2% of individuals who can attack the market at the same time? When they attack it, they do it at the moment when the market is reaching to them. And they siphon off $1,000 a day, $1,000 every couple of hours.
Let me ask you this question. If you decide that you want to have the pleasure of an aquarium, right, in your house, what do you need to do?
I need a bigger house.
Oh, you need a bigger house. But no, small aquarium. What do you need to do?
I never really thought about that because
it's not a trick question. It's a simple thing. If you want an aquarium, you go buy one, right? You're thinking about something big. You just go buy one, all right?
Okay.
If you have an aquarium, what do you normally put in it? Fish, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's assume that you buy an aquarium and you buy some fish, but you have no water. What will happen to the fish? Huh?
Okay.
The
All right, but
the,
I mean, obviously, if you're going to do a proposal and a plan for an aquarium, you would have water.
Yeah, no, but if you, the fact of the matter is that even though you can put the fish in the aquarium, the environment there is such that he cannot thrive in it because he needs water. Here is the point I'm making to you. Some of these things that you're asking for, right? You are ignoring the normal construct, the normal arrangements of the Bahamian economy, in that it excludes or precludes active participation in that way. Because
are you sure about that?
I am sure about it.
But anybody can register with a broker and trade.
Anybody can register with a broker and trade. But the whole idea is, If everybody in the Bahamas is taking their monies and converting it to U.S. dollars and investing on the U.S. stock exchange, sooner or later the Bahamas is going to be in problem. Because
would you say our dollar is pegged to that?
It is pegged to it, but in order for you to convert your B dollars into U.S. dollars, right?
It's only about 2 cents. I mean, so if every dollar is about 2 cents, you pay more.
$0.02?
I think it's like 97 or 98 cents that we have to pay to keep the dollar on par?
Yeah, well, it's a dollar. Maybe dollar. Yeah, you could say that, but it's a dollar. Why is it that you think that the central bank restricts persons investing elsewhere? Why do you think the central bank restricts you from keeping U.S. dollars in a foreign country?
Yes.
Why?
But what the central bank is... Because they don't want to lose.
What is it that they don't want to lose?
They don't want to lose access to your funds. They want to see where your funds are going so that they can tax you.
You think that
is... Look, if I have a wallet,
mm-hmm.
nobody knows about it.
Right.
They don't even know what Bitcoin currency is in my wallet. Mm-hmm. I have the private key and the public key.
Right.
I don't think government too keen on being a part of, or me being a part in their country, because they don't know what I have, what I own, and who I am, because they want to use me to fund their elections eventually. It's a bunch of sugar.
No, but if you are a Bahamian person who was born in the Bahamas, and this is just for the sake of explaining this, if you were born in the Bahamas and you have never at any point in time in your life earned any money outside of the Bahamas, right? Every single thing you earn is from right here in the Bahamas.
I have your point.
The only way you can do that is, and not go through the central bank, is to do it illegally.
No, sir.
Yes.
Okay, how is it then that I get, well, I can't go to, how is it that I can obtain a broker in London that pays me?
Okay, and how do you fund a broker? How do you fund a broker? How do
with
you?
My money.
Where do you get the money from?
I earn the money. Sometimes I get it from foreign.
Oh, so you have foreign sources and you send it directly to him. So that never comes into the country. That's what you're saying?
Isn't that the same way Bahama was built?
Yeah, okay. You see the difference right now? The central bank, I don't think, is jumping up and worrying itself about that earning. The central bank is always going to be concerned about money, which is domiciled in the Bahamas, going out and chasing foreign currency.
I think we have an issue here in this country, sir, because obviously if money can come in
mm-hmm.
and come in through another country and never hit our local banks,
yeah,
and what can be done with that money, why are you preventing me from bringing my own money in if other people can do it?
Yeah, how is that money coming in and never hitting a local bank?
What I'm saying is the money that was used to allegedly build Bahama, none of those billions have never sat in the Bahamian bank for one night to earn interest.
Maybe not. But you are thinking in terms of, you know, paper and coins. The money for Bahama may never have come in, but the goods came in. It bought the goods in a foreign country. It also came in the form of actual cash, which was transferred to the bank accounts of workers who worked on the site. So money have to come in somewhere, some shape or form.
So you're saying that I'm illegal if I register with a broker foreign and trade internationally and make money outside of the country? Is that illegal, sir?
I think it's illegal for you to own a foreign account.
Well, then you need to lock up all the politicians.
Well, I still think it's illegal. I'm not going to...
No, but I'm saying, I mean, come on now.
I don't know any politician who has an account outside. Now, I wouldn't argue with you if you say that they do, but I don't know any.
Okay, gotcha. So what you're basically saying is, if I have knowledge of the same,
mm-hmm.
I should be able to do the same and feel no shame.
No, you should feel shame, and you must always remember that it's illegal. You know, it's just like the guy who went and knocked down Christopher Columbus, and everybody was saying, hey, yeah, knock it down. What he was doing is illegal, and it should not be done.
A better example is this street had a block to it, and lady run into it and killed, and as soon the government changed, that became legal. We opened it up.
Yeah,
the government didn't say no to that.
Yeah, I am not sure how that was clear so quickly, but be that as it may, that's a whole different issue.
But you see my point. Today it's a one-way street. Tomorrow it's a two-way.
It's based on policy. And policy
changes. If I could just don't ride on the street, but ride on the water that's above the street, and I'm slightly elevated from the street, I'm not touching your street, then I'm legal.
Possibly. There's some space for you
to
argue
that. I'm not driving on your tarmac. I am on the actual water. I'm slightly above. So what makes me wrong if I'm not touching your street.
Because
I'm just flying, hovering just above like a drone would do.
Yeah, because the street, which I have a right to, the right emanating from the Queen, I own everything that goes down and I own everything that goes up above it. Yes. The space above the ground and the space below the ground is a part of my rights too. So if you're floating above my road, then you're still in my space. All right, thank you so much.
Yeah, okay, all right, cool.
All right, thank you so much. Good conversation. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, I'll jump into this and get some talk about the speech from the throne. It's an easy evening. If you have some thoughts, if you want to engage just like the first caller, then certainly go ahead. We have all the time to do that. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Come right back.
Hubert Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World, December 3rd through 4th. 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's. Pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public and its customers that the corporation will commence improvement works on Bamboo Boulevard, South Beach East, beginning Friday, September 3rd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, there may be some interruption in water supply and traffic flow around the work area. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Buffalo soldier, dreadlock rasta. It was a buffalo soldier in the heart of America.
And welcome back as we listen to Bob Marley sing about the buffalo soldier. You know, there are many, many, many buffalo soldiers in society today. And they're fighting for what's theirs. They're fighting for their own way of being, for their own, the right to be themselves. And many instances, all they're asking for is a listening ear. Somebody to sympathize and be compassionate to them, just to understand where they are. Because they are ready to fight. They have a lot of energy. But that energy, too, can be transformed, transmuted, transferred into other things. If only they have a space to express it. So as you heard the advertisement, Success Summit 2021 is ready. We are loading that, and it will go on December 3rd and 4th. This is the first year that we're going to do 2 days. The first day is going to be Youth Day, focus on youth. And we are inviting all persons, all schools, primary schools, secondary school, high schools to, you know, log in. We will be on YouTube. We will be on Facebook. We will be on Zoom. And so you want to log on and you want to be a part of this experience. This year, we want to have a big coming together of schools from the Bahamas and schools from Jamaica. So, you know, we want to put together thousands of students, and we have a fantastic lineup of young people, not so young people, and old people like myself who will be sharing and teaching and presenting, all with a view of helping each of us in our pursuit of our individual and our collective greatness. So you want to check that out, you want to stay tuned, you want to follow us on social media to see exactly where we're going. And as we stream live, want to say thanks to all the persons who are joining us via Facebook. So what about the speech from the throne, which jumps out at you, which jumped out at me? I think overall, and other persons have spoken to this, overall, I think it's a good start. I think it's a good start. Obviously, one of the things that we always crave for is details. But we always have to kind of bite the bit and remind ourselves that maybe this is not the best forum for us getting details. Be that as it may, the tradition is, the expectation is, the anticipation is that in the speech from the throne, the government is going to outline its legislative agenda and it's going to outline its policy positions, broadly speaking, the policy position that is going to take over the next 5 years. But I just want to take you through a couple of things. I went through this. I wrote a piece on this. It will be published at some point. But let's take a very, very clear look at this. On the first page, at the beginning, one of the first things that the Governor General said on behalf of the government, the administration, he says, it is clear from the result of the election that Bahamians demand transformational change. Now, that is a very important statement, and it's a very tricky one too. But let's look at the important side. They're saying the fact that the people of the Bahamas voted out the previous administration, it is clear that they are demanding transformational change. Now, what exactly represents transformational change? When you transform, let's use a caterpillar as a metaphor for transformation. When a caterpillar transforms, it becomes something more attractive, something more beautiful, something more desirable to look at, isn't it? But there are things which transform and don't necessarily meet that standard. But I would believe that in this sense, it is saying that persons are looking for significantly better. They want better, hence the reason they change the administration. We have a caller. Caller, go ahead. You're on The Essentials.
A godly day is talking voice along with you.
How are you doing? I promise myself to ask you when I next speak with you.
Say what? Again?
Yeah, I said I promise myself to ask you the next opportunity that I had. What exactly are you saying when you greet me? I don't always make out all the words.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so go slowly. You say a godly day to you.
To this dark universe along with you.
And the universe?
The people are in the universe. The people make the universe.
Okay, I got you now. That's the part I always miss. Go ahead then, Bremer.
Okay. What I want to ask you, right? I listened to a conversation with you on the last gentleman. But I think you were dancing a bit.
That I was dancing?
Right.
Yeah, he was trying to take me sometime to places that I didn't want to go. So, yeah, I did dance a little bit.
Yeah, but the thing is, there is a bank called PIC. You know of that bank, right?
PIC?
Yeah.
No.
Private International Company.
Yeah? Where is that?
Okay. Now, you said that you don't know of any politician have their money in in those banks, in that bank. Do you believe they have money in that bank?
I don't know which bank you're talking about.
That private bank.
Which
private international company?
I don't know any private international company.
Well, there's a bank called PIC, that's it.
Okay.
But what I want to say to you, mm-hmm. right? A couple of things I want to say to you. One, if I make my money,
mm-hmm.
who have the rights to tell me what to do with my money?
The government.
The government?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how I got it?
Generally speaking, they may know, yeah. But they have a right to do.
They have a right to do?
Mm-hmm. That's the arrangement that we have as a country. We have some laws, and the laws demand that if they were to ask you, you should tell them, because the anticipation is that you get your money from legal sources and you use it for legal reasons, and the government have a right to know.
Okay, that's all they have to know. Mm-hmm. But it's through a legal
yeah.
sources.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Other than that, if I take my money and invest it in any country or any entity, that's mm-hmm. not their business.
Yeah, not
especially if it's not in the Bahamas.
Not if you live in the Bahamas, it is their business. If you live in the Bahamas based on the PEG system that we have and the need to maintain reserve and the need for the central bank to track investment going outside of the country, they will want to know why you're doing it. That's why you have to go to the central bank and apply to exchange or to change your money into U.S. dollars in order to send it out.
That's, but I'm paying for that.
Yeah, but that's them knowing.
The other thing is, right,
mm-hmm.
if it hadn't reached the Bahamas, I worked for it,
mm-hmm.
and it hadn't reached the Bahamas, and I invested in, you know, in whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Bahamian.
Mm-hmm.
Is that their business?
It's their business. I think the law says you're not supposed to have an account out there. Now, obviously, it's difficult for persons to find, and I don't think anybody is chasing you down to try to find that, because it's a well-known fact that many, many persons in the Bahamas have U.S. dollar currency accounts elsewhere. It's just a natural fact. A lot of people do. But I think the law says you shouldn't. So it's still their business to know.
Let me ask you something. I would like to find that law. I would like to read that law. I would like for you to get that law and read it.
as you said that you would like to get that law. You know, I have never actually seen it myself.
Never had what?
I don't think I've actually seen it myself. I'm being very honest here. I don't think I've actually seen it. I've accepted the discussions which I've heard that there is a restriction and you're not supposed to have account. But I will check it out. I'll find it,
please,
and
because,
I will come back to you.
Yeah, because right now you're speculating, and if you're speculating,
I am speculating to an extent, but I think it's informed speculation.
But I don't think it should be nationally. Unless you have facts to show to the Bahamian people.
Yeah, that's fine. I can take the hit for the time being. But I think, I think it's informed speculation. And I will come back and let you know. I definitely come back and I'll call and say, Bremer, here is the information. Either I'm right or I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll beg your forgiveness. If I'm right, you owe me, one hot party. It's gone. So, yeah. We're talking about this whole issue of transformation. So the government, the existing government is saying that the fact that the Bahamians voted out the previous party, they are now seeking for transformation. They also said in the very next statement that our country is in the midst of a mismanaged health and economic crisis. The operative word there is mismanaged. And I think by that, they are clearly setting the tone that, look, you're now going to move into an era where mismanagement is going to become effective management. Anything less, I guess, would not be acceptable. The fact that it's here emanating from the speech from the throne, they're setting themselves up to say, here are the policies, here are the legislation, here are the things that we are going to do, which is going to make these two crises going forward manageable. There's also a commitment, which is the third statement in the speech, which says, my government is committed to work in partnership with other nations. But I think even more importantly, now that's just my commentary, even more importantly than what comes after is fundamental. It says, with our local communities, and most importantly, with the Bahamian people, to address the challenges of these crises pose. So in a very subtle way, it's not explicit, and I expect that at some point in time, there is going to be an explicit call. There has been explicit calls in other, more explicit calls in other speeches. But it is saying that the government working together with local communities and you, the Bahamian people, is going to find ways of addressing and overcoming these challenges. It's a call to action to you. It's a recognition that the government alone can't do this. It's a recognition that the Bahamas alone can't do this, so there's a need to work with other nations. And the question I have for you is, are you ready for the ride forward? Because every single individual is going to be needed in this march forward. We have callers. Caller, go ahead. You're on Guardian Radio.
Hi, Mr. Edwards.
Hi, how are you doing, 52?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I was listening to you, right? As I like to learn, I like learning, and apparently a lot of Bahamian people have a problem with being enlightened, and they forget the reason for the radio airwaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to walk away with something, but, you know, I read a Nikki Kelly article, and so, you know, I basically am well enthused with the science. I just wanted you to help me with this here, because, you know, I try to, but I wonder if it's illegal to save U.S. money, because I kind of worry about, I could be comfortable with the type of life I live in.
Hold on, 62. 52, sorry. When you say it's illegal to save U.S. money, what do you mean? To put it in the bank?
No, I think Mr. Bacardi said something the other day that, I thought it was some kind of law like that you have to turn in this U.S. money to the central bank and et cetera, et cetera. I am not too
okay, well. Let me explain something to you. If you have $500 in U.S. dollar, right? Your money, $500 U.S. dollar. So your cousin came from New York and gave you $500 U.S. dollars, right? And you took it to bank ABC, and you say, deposit this for me, right?
I get it back and me mean money.
Yes.
So that's why I don't deposit it.
Right. So you keep it. Unless you have the right, unless you get the right, the approval from the central bank to own a U.S. dollar account, you cannot save U.S. dollars.
Listen to me. That's what I'm saying. And so my brother has one, and a couple of family members. And, you know, I'm always a thinker, so I was trying to do this. I wanted to do this years ago. Because I have a little small business, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to get rid of this problem. And this, you know, a lot of people have foreign, a lot of people have U.S. bank accounts, and they're not worrying about the money devalue.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So I'm looking at this construct, and so I just wanted you to clear this up for me.
Yes.
And then I'll make a little joke about Columbus when I finish. But the thing is, about the foreign currency debt. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a national debt.
Yes.
And then we have a foreign currency debt. And so I know countries need U.S. money because it's the reserve currency in order to do business with the U.S. So even China, everybody needs the U.S. currency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of scary for me. And so I'm looking at the pandemic. Eventually, the leaders of the World Economic Forum and the globalists at large, they had to foresee what these pandemic protocols and this scientific dictatorship, a paradigm, would create for the third world sub-region. There's no way they could tell me they didn't know this. And they know it would be pain and suffering and financial hardship.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at...
Yeah, we have some other callers, 52, so let's jump to it. Sorry about
that. But the question was with Columbus, right? Yeah, so somebody made a great joke, and so I really liked it. Well, they were saying, give them the statue so they could pay off their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a good laugh with that, so that's where it's at. But I'd like for you to explain to me the difference with that current currency reserve. And how do we pay that?
Okay,
I'll
jump on that after the other call. Caller, we have another caller here on. Yeah, you got to turn your phone, turn your radio down. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you know the thing about it, Mr. Edwards. Mm-hmm. I hear you talking about transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I really want you to take a minute or so and outline what the transformation means to you and this country. And you know, the thing about it is that We keep on electing.
Okay, hold on. You want me to take that first and then you come in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so for me, transformation would mean taking a very careful look at all of the things which are not going well, which are not going right, the things which have restricted the growth of the Bahamas, the things which have disadvantaged individuals within the country, the things which have kept poor people poor, and rob individuals of opportunities, the things which would have made organizations like BPL inefficient and ineffective, the type of reforms which are needed within government, which has not been dealt with over a number of years, the structural challenges, the structural problems which we have experienced over multiple decades. So in my mind, transformation is going to be a recognition of these and a fix of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
No problem. Mm-hmm. I understand you, Mr. Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I'm hearing you, so go ahead.
Yes, I'm understanding you, and you're correct for that. But you know the thing, the situation is, and I'm 100% in agreement with that issue, right?
Okay.
But here's the problem. The problem is that we've been electing these 5 years superstars for the last 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and it appears that these folks are kind of getting blatant and saying that you're not going to give me another 5 years anyhow, so I might as well do what I want to do and help my friends, family, and lovers. They're setting a very dangerous precedent.
Yeah,
and the transformation you're talking about, they don't care about it.
Well, we, you know, in the instance of this new administration, you can't say that. You have to wait until they either perform or not perform to say. Now, you may be ambivalent, you may be discouraged, and you may be judging them based on experience. You know, but I would figure you'd have to give them a chance, just like you gave the previous administration a chance, and then you draw your conclusion. So, you know, will they do it? We can't say that for sure. We are hoping that it happens. The one thing which is sure is that this time around, the Bahamas is at a very, very precarious crossroads.
We're on a physical financial cliff, and we're on very unstable ground. And why I'm saying that is that I already see some missteps in this government just a couple of weeks ago. And the thing about, I don't know if you understand that the previous government lost the trust of the Bahamian people about a year into their administration. And I'm saying to you, if this administration keeps it up, the exact same thing is going to happen.
Okay, sir. And I would hope, it is our expectation, it is our hope that that doesn't happen in terms of them not delivering on what was promised, because at the end of the day, this isn't about politics, this isn't about party, it's about the fact that if the administration, if the government, and government is continuous, if there isn't a delivery, a very, very serious and fundamental delivery, I think in this season, the remedial price going forward could be that much more significant. You have another caller. Caller, go ahead.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
Awesome. Great conversation. To my disadvantage, I did not get the show from the entirety,
mm-hmm.
from the beginning. But based on what you're speaking in regards to transformation, you know, a very good friend of this country before he passed away said, information does not bring transformation. Conversion does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so my contribution would be this. Every Bahamian, in my humble personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
every human being that is, but we talk, since we're in the Bahamas, talking about Bahamian issues, every human being that is born, they were born to transform. Not only themselves, but the fullness of the word, to transform. You were born as a baby, but 51 years old, you are transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we were taught, once a man, but twice a child.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, so my word, as relates to the word transformation then, another thing I learned from my good friend was this, in regards to words, because you're using the word transformation. Okay? He said, the teaching for the word brings revelation, but the transfer of the spirit brings transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that? You heard that?
Yeah, I hear that.
With the teaching of the word transformation. See, we first have to be taught, in my humble opinion, as relates to our country being 40 years of age, 48 to be exact,
mm-hmm.
2 years short from our golden jubilee, Bahamas, and 529 years this year since our race were transformed.
Okay.
We are in a transformation period.
All right,
as
all right.
As relates to 1492 up to this period.
Yep. I get your point. It's important that we, you know, we kind of stay focused. Yeah, but the point you're making is about, you know, what does transformation really mean? If you break down the word itself, it says trans and form. And trans means to move, and form means what it represents. It's a form. So transform is a changing of form, is a difference. So I think the administration is arguing that there needs to be a fundamental change in how things are done, in how things look, in how things operate, and the results of those things. So when a caterpillar transforms, it now becomes an entity that is beautiful, that is more efficient, and that can actually fly. Before it's a butterfly, it just lumbers around, but it is in preparation for becoming that. The question, therefore, is, are we willing to go through the metamorphosis? Are we willing to go through that process which is going to lead us to, at the end of the day, emerge as this wonderful, beautiful butterfly? Because bear in mind that while it may not have occurred to us, while we may not have rested our minds on it, the caterpillar, the process of moving from caterpillar to a butterfly cannot be painless. The idea of becoming a big caterpillar and then cocooning yourself in this tight thing, there must be some discomfort. I would suspect so. At least I understand, based on studies, based on persons who have discussed this, that the emergence of the butterfly from that cocoon itself is a challenging process, but a process which is necessary, because the challenge of forcing itself out and flapping its wings continuously helps it to develop its muscle so that it can fly. So this whole transformation process is not going to be easy. It's not going to be straightforward, but it must be done. And I think if they're saying that there is a demand for transformation, I would anticipate that they're saying we are here, ready and willing to deliver transformation to the people. You're listening to The Essentials. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Okay. Your point, what I was making, I know the Bahamian people know the definition for the word transformation. What I'm saying,
yeah,
is
but the only thing I was saying is that you already made the point, but you kept going over the same point. Yeah. So we are right on the top of the hour, 7:30. Let's take, we have another caller. Let's take this caller before we go into the break. Caller, welcome to The Essentials.
Evening, sir. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. And you?
Quite well. Now, you know, a key element of this transformation is that we got to be extremely careful about who we accept help from, you know, who want to help us through the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's some muscles that we have to develop on our own.
That's correct.
So, you know, and it's very difficult to go through a process, and if you have, like, say, enablers around you, you know, quite difficult.
Yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, using the analogy of the butterfly again, I understand if you see the butterfly struggling to get out of the cocoon, and you went and helped that butterfly, it will die. Yeah. Because it is a process of emerging painfully or strenuously from the cocoon and flapping its wing, which strengthen the muscle for it to be able to fly. So you're right. There is some level of, I was going to say institutional, but maybe it's national knowledge which needs to be created, national culture, a national way of doing things, which needs to be created so that we can walk far into the future independently, not depending on or not being dependent on any external element to achieve what we want to achieve.
But in hindsight, right, this process would have been easier coming out of 1967, right?
Possibly.
But now you have a generation who, like, used to stuff, right? All the people born after 1967 and 1973, you know, are now middle age and kind of set in their ways. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, well, that's where leadership comes in. And so the extent of the effectiveness of leadership will make that difference. Thank you so much for your contribution. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we continue to walk a little bit through the speech from the throne. Come right back.
For the best jerk in the Bahamas, you must have Balu's pork, fish, and chicken served with our delicious country-style sauce and authentic festivals. Balu's, Nassau East South. Call or WhatsApp 376-8951. Balu's, the jerk with the soul of reggae and the spirit of Junkanoo. Balu's jerk, traditional, slow-cooked to perfection. 376-8951. Get yours today.
Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World. December 3rd through 4th, 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises the public and its customers that the corporation will commence improvement works on Bamboo Boulevard, South Beach East, beginning Friday, September 3rd, 2021, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily for a period of 8 weeks. During this time, there may be some interruption in water supply and traffic flow around the work area. The corporation apologizes for any inconvenience caused.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having ourselves a little bit of a walk through the speech from the throne, not doing anything too deep into this, but kind of just looking at the tone which was set from really the first speech. And, you know, a couple of things which started out with the first statement that, hey, you know, the Bahamian people demands transformational change in what is represented as the New Day. And also the fact that the country is in the midst of a mismanaged health and economic crisis. It's making a commitment of working with communities, with other nations, to ensure that the challenges which are faced or posed by these crises are dealt with. And then there is the commitment of governance, good governance, through the principles of transparency, integrity, and accountability. This, I believe, is going to be one of the bright lines of this particular administration. And the reason it's going to be a bright line by which this administration is judged, that's how I should have said it initially, is because the previous administration came in on that same mantra: transparency, integrity, and accountability. To its credit, the previous administration, the Minister administration, they have walked down the road and implemented a number of new pieces of legislation, some systems and processes, which I believe have advanced in an important way the areas of transparency, accountability, and integrity. Now, the argument can be made, and I think most objective persons will readily agree, that maybe more could have been done, should have been done at this stage, because of the intensity to which that represented the platform of the administration coming in. There was an expectation that more should have been done. An example is the Freedom of Information Act. There were some things which were challenged while they were in opposition, but didn't move far or fast enough to really concretize a total commitment to those issues. It therefore sets up a very, very bright line against which this administration is going to be judged, in that, yes, they have moved this far, but they were anticipated to be here. So the question is, how far are you going to go? When you start to implement your reforms, how far are you going to take those reforms? As it relates to reform around governance, are we going to embrace this idea of limits on prime ministers? It's something which I honestly don't support, this two-term limit. It's an American thing. It's not something which I believe, I don't want to say this wrongly, but it's not a question of having capable people. There's no question that there are many, many capable persons in the Bahamas who can ascend to the seat of prime minister. But there isn't the same level of willingness, and there isn't the same system which guides persons through various levels of governance, maybe from a mayor level or from a district or a county to a governorship or to a state, a representative, and then that individual gains experience to go to become a president, for example, in the United States, even though those stages can be skipped. You know, Reagan, for example, was just a movie star. And then he became a governor, and then he became president. So there are things which are different. And I believe that we have to be very careful when we start to limit what the opportunities are. So, you know, two terms or not two terms. What I think is more important is that whosoever gets there works hard and do the things which are necessary to move the country forward. As long as, and here's the issue. If you think about it this way, if the Bahamas, for example, was to find itself a prime minister who can do no wrong, like literally do no wrong, who moves the country every single day, every single week, every single month, every single year, forward, growing more exponentially, increasing. GDP is now 30 million, then 50 million, then 100 million. If you can find an individual who demonstrated the ability to do that over 25 years, who doesn't disadvantage anyone, who doesn't take on any type of a flavor of being a dictator who doesn't do anything to hurt the country or hurt any individual, a prime minister where under his or her rulership, everybody flourishes. Why would you want to limit that person to two terms? Why? And so the whole idea is that as we go through this thing of reform, we definitely will have to see how far the PLP administration will go. I think the next statement which was outlined is a very important one. It says, we cannot resolve our country's economic crisis until we resolve the health crisis. It's so true. I believe that is so, and many persons understand that. But that statement have, in my mind, some important undercurrents, or potentially. Maybe not meant, but I could accord certain undercurrents to this. Because at the end of the day, in order for us to move economically, if the health crisis is not resolving itself in a normal way as expected, then there will be some additional, quote-unquote, abnormal application which will be necessary. We must accept that. If on one hand you will accept that we cannot move economically unless we solve the health crisis, then we must accept that if there are impediments to solving the health crisis, then those impediments must be removed. And if one of those impediments is, for example, the unwillingness of individuals to become vaccinated, chances are, like we've seen in other countries today, mandates may very well be a part of the Bahamas. It's a natural extension to this conversation. If I am saying to you, patient, you are going to die unless you do this, then obviously we are going to be very serious about you doing that thing unless you want to die. If the economic state of the Bahamas is going to be imperiled in its already fragile state, and we can solve it by providing some sort of a treatment, then we either sugarcoat it, or if push come to shove, we may administer it forcefully. This is just my thinking. I'm not according this to the government. I'm not saying that this is the way they're thinking, but we are seeing and experiencing that from other countries in the world. They start with a place that they have total control over: the police force, the army, the schools, government workers. We have a caller. Welcome to The Essentials.
Yes, how you doing?
I am doing very much, Sialan.
Yeah, Sialan here. Yeah, what prompted me to call is where you move into this thing of concerning a mandate for vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk about the transformational change. Basically, you're talking, I think, from a governmental standpoint, you're talking about shaping the way we do business, a cultural aspect of how we exist,
mm-hmm.
changing our work culture. But it also, the word transformation means that you look at the butterfly analogy that you use and the pupil that changes.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice during the transformational change, you, unless you recognize one movement to the others, a lot of people may not recognize what you were before.
Right.
And so, essentially, a shift was promised in that respect. But when you move into the medical aspect of it and you move to the mandate, it will also mean that you only have in that transformational change mindset that you only adopted a single, as if to a single solution, do this or else. Whereas there is a multiplexity of avenues that you can take to address what you call the health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a single vaccination would be the single solution. And so you would have to believe that when they say it's for transformational, it'll be all changes that's necessary to achieve the end goal that that is needed. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, if you look, I guess what you'd understand similarly to a Pestel, where you, in the so-called transformation, we'll be looking for political, economic, social, technological, legal, and environmental factors that affect the so-called transformation of the way we do things, because we're talking about changing from the environment where we are. We says we are facing a health crisis, an economic crisis. So we have to then look to a greater understanding, not the the incremental changes that we often so like to use for transformation, but an actual grand change, as you spoke of the butterfly, and then you went into the factors as to why not having a person remove after 10 years, that, you know, once they can, what you have is called measurable gains towards an end, a worthwhile end. And so, but I don't want you to just lock into that we need to make these singular advancement to bring about the transformation that we have, because in this new environment we have, real-time data analysis allows you to make adjustments on the fly as you move towards a goal. So I think it's going to be important for the government of the Bahamas to actually define this transformation that we expect to achieve, where it won't be one where we simply say we're moving forward and no one goes where. Just in ending this example, if you call a travel agent and you say to the travel agent, I'd like to make a reservation to go on a trip to New York, and they ask you, where would you like to depart from? And you said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Can't make the reservation.
No.
If you call another travel agent and say, I would like to take a trip, where would you depart from? New Providence, where would you like to go? I don't know. So at any given time on a particular trip, you must always know where you're leaving from and where your expected destination should be.
I agree.
I think that's the important thing for the speech for the throne.
Yeah. Before
it's going to be for the government to define this transformation we're seeking to achieve.
Yeah, before you go, Sir Allen, I think you make some important points, and I have said it before. I think the first speech that the Prime Minister gives in Parliament, the real Parliament, not the the opening stuff that we saw before.
Yeah, the 27th.
Right. Yeah, the real Parliament. The first speech he gives, I am anticipating an unpacking of a number of these commitments. And I believe that that speech is going to set the barometer as to exactly the two things that you mentioned. One, a recognition of where we are, so that we can plan the trip to where we are going. If that initial speech doesn't do that, not that it is going to be fatal, but there is going to be some makeup and some confusion, because I think the expectation needs to be set very high, but importantly, it needs to be set very clearly. It needs to be rich with honesty. I'm not saying anybody is dishonest. I'm saying all of the facts need to be brought to the table. And so if we are in a bad way, we need to be told exactly how much that bad way is. But in the same statement, it will terminate with, we are going to move from this point, and this is where we are going to get at X point in time. Go ahead.
Right, which takes it back up to the statement they make about establishing on the principles of transparency, integrity, and accountability.
Accountability, yeah.
And then, so what it also hints at is that it hints at that they will consult and be inclusive in their decision-making process. Now, mm-hmm. for me, that's very important, because oftentimes people consult, and when you give a recommendation based on the data or information you have, they somewhat ignore it because they are fixed in what they want to do in their decision-making.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says consult and be inclusive, I naturally assume in this environment they're talking about a crowdfunded collective intelligence aspect of deciding where we need to go. Because, again, they are driving this vehicle, but the vehicle is owned by the Bahamian people as a collective, and it should be where we want to go as opposed to where they dictate.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Well, let me throw this out to you, because the where we going has already been determined. That was outlined in the Blueprint for Change.
Yes.
And that was the ticket that people punch on the 16th, right?
Yes.
Good. Now, that ticket or that the route to that destination may necessarily need some adjustment because new information has emerged. You agree with me?
No, right. And this is where they have to define the destination with more clarity.
Exactly.
They made a lot of statements concerning infrastructure, this, all those different things. We talked about the various incarnation of different economic models.
Mm-hmm.
So now, as we talk about blending of this blue, green, orange, digital, conceptual knowledge, aquamarine, and these other type of economic models, as they become more defined, some of them overlap and some are even conflict. And so, again, you're absolutely correct. With a leadership and his communications team is going to be so, so important to make sure that we have cohesiveness in the direction where we want to go, is that we understand both the input and output in real time as we move towards achieve the defined goal that the leadership lays out, hopefully in the coming weeks.
I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for your contribution.
Thank you.
That's the point. And, you know, as C. Allen said, the very next point below transparency, integrity, and accountability was, in fact, say, my government will consult and be inclusive in our decision making. So, yeah, where is that destination? Where is that destination? That destination has been, for the most part, painted with some level of abstractness, I would say, because no group of persons outside of the government have the full picture of the government, and so you make broad statements. But that first speech, I would anticipate, is going to be guided by additional information which have been. They would have become privy to refining and saying, well, you know, let me put it this way. From where I sit, I do not believe in this concept that, hey, you promise me 10 things during the election and you must deliver 10 things because you promised it. My position is, if you can come to me and honestly say, you see these 10 things, this one or these two, I did this on the basis of this understanding, and as a result of what I now know, we may need to adjust this, because ultimately, if I pursue this, I will hurt you and I will hurt us. I can live with that. Now, what I can't live with is you saying, I am going to do it anyway because I promised it. Or I cannot live with other persons saying, you must do it anyway because you promised it, even though it's going to be done to the detriment of others. We have another caller. Caller, go ahead. Okay, sorry about that. You can call right back. We have a couple of minutes. If you get back in quickly, you will be able to do that. Investment. So as a first priority, they are going to look at legislation and policy to address healthcare risk to avoid the need for emergency order, investment in healthcare infrastructure throughout the Bahamas, and ensure that Family Island clinics are properly equipped. Yes, the one big item in there is the reduction in VAT that I have spoken to already. I have written about it. I still believe that this is one of those policy positions. While I understand, I have spoken to person, I've discussed it, I've asked individuals who are smarter than I am, explain to me what can be achieved here, and the consensus is that there's some good things which can be achieved out of the reduction of the VAT. I believe, though, that bottom line thinking says any reduction in revenue extends and expands the deficit, and as a result of that, we have to take it into consideration, because ultimately, the taxpayer will have to pay. This is one of them treatment where, you know, I believe if the administration was to come back and say, hey, we are thinking about it again, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for them to do that. I understand that there is a lot of political capital at play here. But if they were to, then certainly the objective amongst us, or even the non-objective, after you sound off, after you get crazy, after you settle down, you should be in a position to accept it. It's a possibility. It's a possibility that we have to understand that things are shifting. And one of the biggest things which shifted right after the election was the downgrade. I think that downgrade changes a lot and has to be taken into consideration. But be that as it may, the The speech from the throne, as we come to the end, I think is rich with a number of amendments to existing act, the Procurement Act, the Fiscal Responsibility Act, the Public Financial Act, the Commercial Enterprise Act. Some persons were saying to repeal it. I don't believe that that act should be repealed. I believe it is one of those things which is underutilized, and with the proper rethink, I believe that the enterprise, the Commercial Enterprise Act, has some value. I especially like the fact that the Minister of Agriculture and Marine has oversight for Family Island Affairs. I'm not sure what Family Island Affairs mean. I would have kind of a little bit preferred it to say Family Island Development, maybe. But the Commercial Enterprise Act, with some other facilitative acts which are there in terms of concession that is available for development, I think can be used to jumpstart some aspect of growth and development within those family islands. In the blueprint for change, in the discussion by the new administration, we hear talk about cluster economics, some around UB. It is an era which, if that thinking is expanded, I think some value can be gained from it, akin to what Mr. Christie attempted to do with his anchor project. But the anchor project, I think, was the wrong approach, maybe big box development. If the thinking is strategic enough and refined enough, I think that could be a good era. Introduction of shipping bill. And a number of areas. One of the areas which, and we talked about this on the show last week, about achieving food security. I believe there need to be a deep dive on agriculture. And if we do that, it's going to set the tone, I think, for some good areas to work on and for engendering growth and development. But they will have to stick to it. They will really have to stick to it. It's a tall order. There's going to be a lot to deliver. But I think the expectation from the Bohemian people is, as the Prime Minister says, because this is essentially the Prime Minister's speech, it is clear from the results of the election that Bohemians demand transformational change. And so if there is going to be a really, truly new day, as the slogan says, then that transformation has to become real. We have to get to the point. We have been using the analogy of a caterpillar and a butterfly all evening, or at least for some part of it. One of the things to remember, the butterfly doesn't emerge from a fat caterpillar. The caterpillar becomes big, it becomes fat in order to survive the process and the ordeal of becoming a butterfly. It actually slims itself down to the bare minimum so that it can be efficient and effective in flight. You've been listening to The Essentials, The Reset. We always like to say, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. The Bahamas greatness is on the chopping block. And the extent to which we decide to change, the extent to which we are willing to change, will determine how far we will go. You've been listening to The Essentials, The Reset. Good night.